Christ, mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The epistle reading from St. Peter's first letter, the third chapter. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord, and this is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This morning, as the season of Easter continues, we are reminded from the psalm verses that were used in our intro from God's Word this morning that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His Word is firmly set in the heavens. It's fixed in the heavens. And His faithfulness endures through all generations. Today is also a special day in the lives of five of our young people who will make the public confession of faith and share with us that they intend, with the help of God, to remain faithful to their confession. We recognize that is sometimes easier said than done, promised but not fulfilled. Yet the Lord says to us, whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge him them before my Father who is in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus, in our gospel reading for this morning, shows us how we are able to confess him, how we are able to acknowledge him before men, as he shares with his disciples that the Father gives us another helper, even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The only unforgivable sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit, which is the sin of unbelief. It is that Spirit of truth, the third person of the Trinity, that we were given as we were born from above by water and the Spirit, according to the Lord's command, which we know to be his great commission. In the waters of holy baptism, we were made disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, even as we were further taught what it means for us to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of truth that uses the means of grace, word, and sacrament to deliver us from the darkness of sin and unbelief into the very light of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the light of the world. The Lord has taken our brokenness and our inborn hostility toward and rejection of him and recreated us anew and given us faith, which lives in his peace and lives in his protection as we are enabled and empowered to confess his name, even in the face of hostility and persecution. The term righteousness applies to all those who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, or all those who by his word of law have been convicted of their sin and who by his word of gospel flee to the infinite mercy and grace of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Either way, it's the Spirit using God's word. That becomes the life of the baptized Christian who is given to understand repentance and righteousness are not something that we produce in and of ourselves, but something that is worked in our hearts by the Spirit of truth, who uses those means of grace, word and sacrament. And it's not a one-time shot. It's something that happens day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. The Word of God's law leads us to recognize our sin and repent, and the Word of the gospel leads us to recognize our Savior and His mercy and his grace freely given to us, and thereby cause us to lead a new life in him, and able to do so by the Spirit of truth. Day in and day out, we are called to this life, and we are called to this witness. So on this day that we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time celebrate the confession of our catechumens, we hear the words written by St. Peter that point out to us that this righteousness we are given by God indeed produces good works in us, works that are pleasing in God's sight because they're done in faith. And they are also then, those good works, are a witness of our faith to our neighbor. Those works do not merit salvation, but they flow from a thankful heart because we have received eternal salvation through the forgiveness of our sins as a free gift from him who created us to be righteous in his very image. And in holy baptism has recreated us anew to be his special holy people. He further points out to us that we may even suffer for righteousness' sake. But we are to consider that a blessing and not be troubled by it. Once again, let me repeat that. We may even suffer for righteousness' sake, but we are to consider that a blessing and not be troubled by it. St. Peter then puts forth to us that in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared to make a defense. The writer to the letter of the Hebrews reminds us that faith is the conviction of, or maybe some of you learned it, the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. Then he gives us the hall of faith, so to speak, a list of the Old Testament faithful, many of whom were mistreated and persecuted for their faith, yet by God's grace were given the victory, even though they only saw it from afar, because they believed in the promise of a coming Savior. They too were given words by which they could defend the faith, because they trusted God's promises. St. Peter in our text speaks of one of those faith heroes and connects us to the salvation given to Noah and his family as their deliverance through the waters, which foreshadowed our deliverance through the waters of holy baptism. He connects those two events. That act of redemption in the face of stiff opposition to Noah cast a larger shadow for all who receive the adoption of God by his grace in the waters of holy baptism. It is in recognizing this grace of God in Christ by which we're being built up that begs us, pleads with us, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have, even in the face of opposition in whatever form that may come. It may come in the form of rejection by a member of your family. It may come, as it has for some, in their death. because they confess Christ as Lord. You know, there are many things for which we cannot keep silent and will speak out about. We're usually never reluctant to share with others our loyalty for a sports team. With pride, we may speak of our alma mater, or even our support of a political candidate or an issue for which we are impassioned, and there may be more than one issue for which we will quickly speak out about. Are we as quick to make a defense to anyone who asks us about the reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? Or is this something that we deem too personal to share? Does our confession of faith and the hope that is ours in Christ Does our confession of faith and the hope that is ours in Christ influence how we view the world and the issues that confront the world? Are we comfortable lifting high the cross, the love of Christ proclaiming? Is our faith and its confession something that we do in this place on Sunday morning and then check at the door conveniently as we leave? What kind of hope is that, if that's how we live our faith? And if we are most certain about our hope, then is that not something that we would gladly share for the sake of family and friends and even foes? Peter suggests that we do so with gentleness and respect, which basically means that we do so in Christian love and compassion, recognizing that not everyone will receive our witness given with gentleness and respect in the same way. But he urges us to be prepared to make a defense for the hope that we have been given through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what is the point? The growth of the church depends on the work of the Spirit of truth, does it not? It is the Spirit that calls us, gathers us, enlightens us, sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, isn't it? Why do I need to get involved or worry about that if it is His work? Why do I need to live out my life according to my faith? Most certainly, we know who is responsible for the growth of the kingdom, God's kingdom of grace. But we must understand that the Lord chooses to use us to give witness to the truth, the good news of what He has done for us and for all. St. Peter suggests that this is our hope, for which we should always be prepared to give a defense, to share this reason for this hope that we have. The psalmist in our introit, who wrote that the Lord's faithfulness endures to all generations, suggests that each generation has a responsibility to the next. It is a responsibility to faithfully share what God has already given, and that He desires to continually and freely give those gifts for this body and life and for eternal life. That includes taking their children to the font to receive His grace, sharing the wonders that God has done in our devotion and in our teaching, making sure that they are prepared to give the good confession through catechetical instruction, and in turn, make a defense for the hope that they have, the hope that we share with one another. Don't we do that in academics and athletics? Shouldn't we do that with the eternal things of God? Recognizing that someone made that a priority in their life to make sure that our lives are visited by the Spirit of truth through the means of grace, that's why you're here. We should stand committed and prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in us. Should's a law word, but it's also a gospel word. because there are so many who should know the good news. In doing so, we remain faithful to Christ Jesus, who out of faithfulness towards us suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God in this time and unto eternity. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.